Good morning. So, last time, we started out by talking about what I kind of broadly call page table tricks, that we don't have to use page tables just to specify what a program's memory is in terms of physical addresses. We can use it to implement sort of other features that sort of aren't natural to support in physical memory, like we can have space be allocated as the program uses it. And we can do things like share memory between different programs in a way where they can't interfere with each other. And we can do what we call swapping, where we have some space on disk that the program's memory is stored in if we run out of space in main memory. And the key insight for things like allocating on demand or swapping is that, well, when an exception happens, we don't just need to crash the program. We can respond to that as the operating system author by looking up what memory did we promise the program would exist and changing the page table to reflect that promise. So in the case of allocating stack space on demand, we'd look up where is the program stack. Oh, it's where the program was trying to access. So let's allocate that part of the stack and return from our exception. And to help support this, the processor is going to, well, first of all, tell the OS where the program is trying to access. And secondly, it's going to make sure that when we return from the exception handler, we retry the thing that wasn't working before. And part of implementing this is that the OS generally is going to track an idea of what memory is that's not the page table. Because the page table is the information the OS is giving the hardware, but the OS can have a completely different notion of what memory is allocated to the program that it would have to track separately that's not what the hardware is currently implementing. So then we talked about multi-level page tables. So a problem we ran into when we thought about especially sort of modern systems where our pointers are 64 bits is that it seemed like our page table and memory scheme kind of broke down because we just needed way too much space to store a page table in that format. So we needed some other format. And the format that pretty much all processors you're likely to come across have decided on is this sort of tree-like structure where each node of the tree has, if it's not a leaf node, has many, many, many children. And the way we represent a node of the tree is with what we call a single page table, where each of the children is just a row in the page table. And we have a varying number of levels of this. How many levels depends on how big our virtual addresses are, and other decisions made by our processor designer. And the reason that this is going to save space is that we're not going to have a fully populated tree. That it turns out that typical programs have lots of memory that has virtual addresses that they don't actually use. So like if we think of a typical program, we have this giant gap between our stack and our heap. We don't need to have page table entries for everything in that gap. And when we think of our tree structure, if there's something at the higher level of the tree that would point to entries for only things in that gap, we can just effectively have a null pointer there. We don't actually use a null pointer. We use a page table entry at that higher level, which is invalid, meaning the valid bit is zero. So with this scheme, we have sort of our first level table pointing to a second level table, our second level table possibly pointing to a third level table until we get to our last level, where it points to coding data. We generally use the same or a very similar page table entry format at each level, which means that our pointers are always physical page numbers. And to do a lookup in this, we divide up our virtual address into pieces. We use the first piece to look up in the first level, the second piece in the second level, and so on. And we have to check all our permission bits at each level. We definitely have to check the valid bit because the whole point of the scheme is that we can omit a whole second level table when there's a big hole in memory. Yes?
What if you do a pointer right to something that wasn't in Valak. Like, it had Valak that was 0, but Wraith that was 1.
So the question is, what if I want to write to something that isn't valid as far as checking valid and permission bits? So if the valid bit is 0, we can't access it. Doesn't matter what kind of access. So how this works might vary between processors, but usually what processors do, I think I have this slide here. Yes. Is say that if the valid bit is 0, so this is the Intel documentation for page table entry format. This bit 0 is the valid bit. If the valid bit's 1, we have all these fields. And if the valid bit's 0, what Intel tells you is everything else is ignored. And that's usually what processors do. So they'll say, if the valid bit's 0, we're not going to check anything else. Or at least not going to act as if everything else doesn't matter. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so how would the valid bit get changed to 1 then?
Question is, how would the valid bit get changed to 1? The operating system has to have code that does that. Your question?
Could you explain one more time what the execution bit does?
So the question is, when we talked about permission bits, what would the execute bit be? So the execute bit is, will we run instructions? From here. So that means that if we're fetching instructions, we're going to say, nope, can't do that. Tell the OS that the program tried to run instructions from a place the OS said not to. Does that answer your question? Okay. Was there another question back there? No. Okay. Are other questions in general? Okay. So last time when we left off, we were looking at this problem, and I have a colored version, which hopefully will make it clearer what's going on. So we have our virtual address in this case, and we learned that doing some calculations based on the page size, that it had a 3-bit page offset, and it happened to be that we had 8 page table entries per page table. So we needed 3-bit parts of our virtual page number. And so that's how I get this split up into a page offset, which we don't use until the very end, into a virtual page number, which we divide up into 2 parts. We use the first part, which is 4, to do our lookup in the first level. And at each level, we're saying, take the base address of the page table that we have, add the index times the page table entry size, and look up in there. Yes?
Could you explain one more time how did you get 3-bit on the first level, 3-bit?
So the question is, how did I get that these are 3 bits? So we have 8-byte pages, so that's 2 to the 3 bytes, so that means that our page offset was 3 bits. And similarly, we are told that page table entries are 1 page. So our page tables are 1 page, and page table entries are 1 byte. So that means that we have 8 bytes, because that's the size of our pages, divided by 1 byte equals 8 page table entries per page. And to identify which of those 8 page table entries we're referring to with part of the virtual page number, we need 3 bits to find one. So this means we have 3-bit VPN parts by the same kind of logic we used to get the page offset size. Does that answer your question? Okay, so question there.
What do you mean when you say page tables are 1 page?
What I mean when I say page tables are 1 page, that 1 page is a size. In this case, it's equal to 8 bytes, and that's what each page tables are at each level. So we have a first level page table, it's 1 page. We have a second level, we have a couple second level page tables, they're all 1 page. Okay, back there?
How do you figure out how many pages for the first page, for the first page table, and how many pages for the second page?
Question is, how do I figure out how many bits are for the first versus the second part of the virtual page number? And I'm told in the question that all page tables are the same size, and all page table entries are the same size, so I know the 2 parts must be the same. Does that answer your question?
Would they be different?
Could they be different? Yes, but if they were different sizes, we'd have to have a different page table size for one of the levels versus the other. And so most commonly, if you look at real processors where they have to have different size VPN parts, usually the first level will be smaller than the later levels. Yes? So question, if we had 2-byte page table entries, would we have less bits? Yes. So if we had 2-byte page table entries, we'd say there are 4 page table entries per page table. And that means we'd use 2 bits from our virtual page number to look up at each level, which would be a problem for 9-bit virtual addresses. Yeah. So question, if we know there's 2 levels, could we just figure out the size of the virtual page number, which is everything but the page offset, and divide that in 2? Yes, provided you know that page tables at each level are the same. So if they weren't divided up evenly, which does happen sometimes in practice, then you'd need more information. Yes?
If we know 2 levels has the same number of bits, does it mean 1-byte
So question, if we know they have the same number of bits, does that mean the 1-byte page table entry and page tables being 1 page are redundant? So I could have just told you they're the same size rather than telling you page tables are 1 page or various other things like that. Yes, so there's perhaps a little extra information in this question than you would need. I mean, could have given you slightly less information. Like I could have only said page tables at the first level are 1 page, and you could have figured out from that page tables at the second level must also be 1 page. Yes?
I'm slightly confused what do you mean by page table being 1 page. So if 1 page is 8 bytes, then you mean 1 page table is 8 bytes?
Question, when I say page tables are 1 page, so that means 1 page table is 8 bytes? Yes. And based on the question, it doesn't matter if it's a first or a second level table. It's 8 bytes. Other questions? Some people look confused. Okay, so we have we've divided our address into pieces. We determined that for this question, you know, each of the pieces is 3 bits. That could be different. Other scenarios, we take our first piece, we use that to index into our first page table. So this is our first page table, which we found using the page table base register. And we determine we want index 4. We know each thing is 1 byte, so we do 4 times 1 is the amount we want to add in bytes to the beginning of the page table to figure out where our particular entry is. We look that up, we decode it. We get our physical page number. We also get a valid bit, which is 1, so we don't have to stop. And we use our physical page number to find the next page table. And we know our page tables are going to be located at the beginning of a page. We only have a physical page number. We actually want the byte of the beginning of the page. So to get that, I've chosen to just add a bunch of zeros. We can also think of this as multiplying by 8, the page size. And then I add to that the second part of our virtual address times the page table entry size. So I'm doing an array lookup in the second level page table, which is this. And getting 0x36, which is here. And I decode that, I get it happens the same physical page number, and also that it's valid. And I combine that with my original page offset, so I'm at the end of our lookup process. Yes? Question is, why did I add 4 in this first step? 4 is 100, our first virtual page number part. And I multiplied it by 1 because that was our page table entry size, so I'd add something other than 4 if we had 2 or 4-byte page table entries. Other questions? Yes?
So if you always have to find 8, from the first level to get the register of the second level? How would that save space?
Question, if I always have to use the first level to get the second level, how does that save space?
No, if you always have to time 8 to get the base register of the second level.
So the question is, when I get this physical page number, I have to multiply by 8 because I have a physical page number and I need a physical byte address.
Yeah.
So how does that save space? So the space savings is because when I have, in general, when I have a first level page table, not everything needs to be valid. Or if everything in the first level is valid, not everything in the second level needs to be valid if I have more than 2 levels. So I have... So, like, if, you know, let's say I only have code and stack in my program, then, you know, we might have, you know, 100 pages of code, 100 pages of stack, and the way I would represent that is I have a page table for the first level and some second and third level page tables to point to those 100 pages, but I would omit page tables for most of the things the first level could have pointed to because I just don't have data there. This is all I need to load. And that's a sort of a very common thing with programs. So the sort of scenario we're imagining here is I have code and stack. So that's what my program is. I don't have to have page table entries for the giant gaps in between the code and stack I actually have loaded. Oops. Okay. Other questions? Question, is there a case where the first VPN part will be a different size than the second VPN part? This happens in practice, but it's not particularly common. So an example of why you would do this is, a concrete example is 32-bit x86 sometimes uses 8-byte page table entries. And when it does this, they wanted to have page table still be one page. So most of the VPN parts are 9 bits. But with a 32-bit virtual address, this leaves 4 bits left over. So when this scheme is in use, they use a 3-level table where the first level uses 4 bits and the next 2 levels use 9 bits. And you can see why they chose to do that. They wanted to still have everything be one page when possible, and they just had this little bit of leftover that couldn't be one page. So that's the sort of scenario. That's why I said it's not always the case they're all the same. And it's usually because they had this sort of case where something was left over. Like, they wanted a 32-bit address and it just didn't divide up evenly with the other sizes they wanted. Okay, so let's do another exercise. Okay, who'd like some more time? Okay, that's the people. Okay, so I will start and hopefully people will catch up who aren't done. So first step is that we are going to use our first page table base register. So that's the first level page table. It's at 0x8. Our page tables are, like before, 8 bytes, 1 page. So our first level page table is here. And we need to figure out where we're looking up in that. So to do that, I take my address, which is 0FB. I write it so I can figure out the different parts of it. So I write it as binary. I know it's 9 bits because the question tells me they're 9-bit virtual addresses. And I know, just like before, we have 3-bit VPN parts. So the first VPN part is 011, or 3. So I'm going to take my base address of 8 and add 3 times the page table entry size, which is 1, to get an address of 0xb for my first level page table entry. So bb is what I'm going to look up. And I decode that as ppn 101, which we can call 5. So 101 and valid bit of 1, using the information about the page table entry format up here. So then I need to go from that physical page number to the base address for my second level. And to do that, I can take my 5, that physical page number, and multiply it by 8, or add 3 zeros in binary to it. So if I think of 101000, this is going to be 82. So I have 28. And then I take my next virtual page number part and add it to that times the page table entry size, because my second level page table is here. And I'm looking up entry 7. And 7, because that's the second part of our virtual page number. And that's going to get me F0. F0 is going to decode as PPN 111 and valid bit of 1. So I use physical page number 111, and this is my last step, so I'm just going to combine that with the page offset from the original address, which is 011. So my address in binary is 111011, which is 0x3b in hex. So that is this 0c right here is the value I would read from that address. Questions on how I did this? Yes?
Where did you get the 111 from?
Where did I get the 111 from? It came from our F0, the second level page table entry. And I guess I have this written perhaps. Well, we can do this the... thought that was the key to do that. So I have this written perhaps more clearly here, and with the same information. So, and this OXF0 got that PPN. Any other questions? Yes?
You have a three-level page. Instead of time 8 from level 1 to 2, would you time 6 for 64?
So, if the question is, if I had three levels, instead of timing 8 from level 1 to 2, would I time 64? No. So, the reason I did the multiply by 8, or the adding three zeros, is to convert a physical page number to a byte address. And that just depends on the page size. Doesn't depend on how many levels we're using.
And that number always starts from 0.
The question is what that number, the question is that when we have a physical page number, the page table that we would access there always starts at the beginning of the page? Yes, meaning offset 0. Your question? The question, if they were 16-byte pages, would we add 4 zeros? Yes. Which is the same as multiplying by 16. Other questions? Yes. Where did 0x0b come from? That is the result of 8 plus 3. Other questions? Yes. Question is, what do I mean by PPM 101 valid bit 1? That is what we get when we decode OXBB according to the page table entry format in the question. Because B is 1011. So 101, physical page number, valid bit of 1. Other questions? The question is, when we're decoding, should we assume we're going from... So you're asking if we're going from most significant to least significant in the page table entries or in the virtual address?
Page table.
The page table entries, you should be told. That's why there's MSB in parentheses here. Yes. So question, according to the question, after the physical page number is the valid bit, and then four least significant bits are unused? Yes. Okay, so let's do one last one last exercise. And then we'll talk about TLB is our last topic for the semester. So this question, we have 2-byte page table entries and 16-byte pages.
Wow.
And so, to illustrate that, our first level page table is this whole thing. And since we have two byte entries, the first entry of it is 1A, 2A as a whole thing. Okay, so in the interest of some, I know people aren't done, so, but who can help me? Let's do the first step, which is going to be, well, my first step, maybe not yours, which is splitting up our virtual address, which I've written out in binary. So who can tell me, what's the page offset of that? Yeah. 0110, so we need the last 4 bits, and how did you get that? So we have 2 to the 4 bytes. So that's our page offset. So the rest is our virtual page number. So how is that divided into parts for the different levels? Someone help me with that. Yes. It's split in half. And how could you tell that? So, okay. So you said, oh, it's a two-level exercise, and you assume that wasn't just a typo on the slide. So there's some other ways we could have gotten that information. Could someone give me one of them? Yeah.
If it's like 16 byte pages and 2 byte page entries, we need like 8 unique bits of like values to differentiate between them.
So yeah, so we have 16 byte pages, page tables are 1 page. So you can determine there are 8 page table entries per page table. So that's another way we could determine the 2 parts are 3 bits, which divides it in half. Also, you could have inferred from that that the sizes are the same, so at least it has to divide up evenly somehow. Okay, so those are our two 3-bit VPN parts. Okay, so what should my next step be? So then I've split up my virtual address. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to multiply 110 by 2, so why 2?
Because the 2 1 2
you're going to say, oh, we have 2-byte page table entries, and we want to determine how many bytes into the first level page table to look. So we're going to multiply by 2 to do that. And so this is 6. So we're going to get a total value of 12. And that's where we're going to look. So we're going to look 12 bytes into the first page table, which is going to end up being starting at AC here. ACBC is going to be our first level page table entry. And I used my page table base register, so I said 0x10 plus 6 times 2 is 0x1c. So that gets me ACBC as my page table entry, and I'm going to need to decode that. Yes?
How come when we're writing the virtual address, you didn't need to put the 0 from the 7?
How come when I was writing the virtual address, I didn't need to put the 0 from the 7? I did put the 0 from the 7. It just, that's the 7 that comes from the original hex number. Other questions? Yeah.
Can you explain again how you use the other way to get the 3-bit first level?
So the question is, how did I determine that the levels are 3 bits? How could I figure that out? So I said page tables are 1 page, which is 16 bytes. Page table entries are 2 bytes. Therefore, there are 8 page table entries per page. 8 is 2 to the 3, so I'm going to need 3 bits for my virtual address to find a page table entry in a page table. Okay, other questions? Yes. So the question, if page tables were 2 pages, then we would say we'd have 32 bytes per page table, divided by 2 would be 16 page table entries per page, which means we need 4 bits from the virtual address to find where in a page table entry was. Okay, so next step in the process is, like before, I'm going to look up, interpret ACBC as a page table entry. I'm going to check if it's valid. I'm going to get the physical page number, and I'm going to add 4 zeros to that, because that's my page offset size, to find the next base address and do the same lookup we saw before. Yes, question?
So is the 2-bit physical page number
Question, is it going to be the most significant of ACBC? So in this case, we're told that it's the most significant bits of the first byte. To get rid of questions about little endian and big endian. Does that answer your question? Okay, so for the interest of time, I'm not going to work through this by hand, but I will use my pre-written version. So after we find ACBC as our first level page table entry, we decode that, we get physical page number 10 and valid. We use our 7, which is our second VPN part, multiply by 2, with our new base address, which ends up being 20. That's because 10 and add 4 zeros to that in binary, to get 2E as our second page table entry, which is 2 bytes, so EFF0. We decode that, and we get physical page number 11, valid bit of 1. So we just combine the 11 with our page offset to get that the access is to address 36, which is DB. So questions on this exercise? Okay, so let's talk about our last topic, which is going to be TLBs. So a little bit briefly. So there's one performance issue we kind of haven't dealt with very well. And I told you that 64-bit x86 had 4-level page tables. And the way I showed you the translation, we did 5 cache accesses every time the program accessed 1 memory address to look up the first level, the second level, the third level, the fourth level. And let's assume these are all L1 cache hits, which we'd hope they are. Even those typically have a latency of a couple cycles. So we're saying like 8 extra cycles to access every memory location. That is not acceptable. And we're going to have a way of doing better with more caching. So the L1 cache is not going to be good enough for this. We're going to need some more specialized cache. And the reason why we're going to be able to do more efficient caching than what our L1 does for this is if we think of how programs use memory, the number of active pages, and therefore the number of active page table entries for that lookup, is very small. That if you think of running a typical program, you're using a little bit of stack space for your local variables, maybe a page or two. You're using maybe some data structure on the heap, but probably just like one thing. And you're using some code. And each of these sort of regions that I've sort of hypothetically highlighted in red, you know, they're probably just a couple pages. So typically, because each page is like several kilobytes, you know, we can fit a whole function on them. That's why it's a couple pages. And we can fit a whole like array from the stack or an array in the heap in them. So typically, we have excellent, like super excellent temporal locality for page table entries. And we want to make a cache that really takes advantage of that. And this is because each page has whole functions, arrays, stack frames. And this means that unlike sort of what we're caching with data and instructions in our L1 cache, the page table entries we need are teeny, teeny, tiny. So we're going to have a much smaller specialized cache to get good performance for them. And this cache, for historical reasons, because IBM named it, is called a translation look-aside buffer, or TLB. Why isn't it called a page table entry cache? Just who named it? So this is going to be a very small cache of page table entries. So where usually with an L1 cache, we look up physical addresses, with this page table entry cache, we're going to look up a virtual page number. And we're going to get a page table entry from it. And this is going to cache the entire lookup. So we're going to only cache last level page table entries. We're not going to cache the first, second, or third, only the last level. So the idea is that this is going to be not only a cache for those frequently accessed page table entries, it's also going to like remember the entire lookup process so we don't have to do it over and over again. So this is going to be page table entries, and this is going to be sort of last level only. And generally, just entries from the last level page tables. And unlike the caches we've seen before, pretty much always, we're going to have one page table entry per block. So our cache blocks are going to be a page table entry. And this is because we don't have good spatial locality between pages. Pages are already huge. And you know, it's not likely we're accessing two adjacent pages that often enough that we're going to want to cache them together, the page table entries for them together. And unlike our L1 cache, we're typically going to have like tens of entries in this cache. And this is going to allow this cache to take less than a cycle to access, unlike our L1 caches. So the typical way I'd imagine this would work is we'd have our memory management unit, and it's going to talk to this TLB, this page table entry cache, and also to the L1 cache. And when there's something that's in the TLB, our address to the program is going to go through here. It's going to get something out of the TLB. It's going to do the translation that way. In the case where something's not cached in the TLB, we're going to get an address from the program. It's going to go to the TLB. The TLB is going to say, "Don't have it." And we're going to have to talk to the cache a bunch of times to do the page table lookup. We're going to look up the first level, the second level, the third level. And as we get back an address to the program, we're going to update the TLB to cache that entry for next time. And I'll show a different version of this diagram in a second. Yes?
So it always checks the TLB first?
So the question is, always check the TLB first? Yes. So sort of our ideal case, and I'm showing a one-level lookup, but the same thing applies to a multi-level lookup. It's going to replace the entire multi-level lookup if we have a multi-level lookup. Is that ideally, we're going to take our virtual page number and our whole virtual page number, put it into the TLB, and get a page table entry out. And if we do this, we skip the entire lookup, and we'd even skip the entire lookup if it were a multi-level lookup, like where we had to like divide this up into pieces and look up the next piece. It would replace the entire lookup no matter how complicated it is. So if it's a multi-level lookup or a single-level lookup, when we have a TLB working, we just use the TLB, we get out a page table entry, and we're done. So on a TLB hit, the TLB access replaces the entire page table access. On a TLB miss, we're going to do the normal page table access. And when that happens, we're going to send the page table entry we get into the TLB as well as using it to complete the access. So we're going to update the TLB each time we have a lookup we have to do by actually traversing the page tables. So on a TLB miss, we actually do the page table access, and the TLB gets a copy of the page table entry to store for next time, so hopefully we don't have to do it next time. Yes? So the question is, how does the TLB get to the last level if it's multiple levels? So if we have multiple levels, we'll do the multiple levels of lookup before we send it to the TLB. So the thing we'll be skipping is all the levels of lookup when there's a TLB hit. And on the TLB miss, we'll do all the levels of lookup and then store the result in the TLB. Question, when there's a hit in the TLB, how does it know it has a last level page table entry? Because we only store last level page table entries there. So we only store some virtual page number, the last level page table entry we found for it. We don't cache higher level page table entries in the TLB. Other questions? Okay. And on a hit or miss, we're still going to need to check permissions. The page table entry could be, you know, say it's kernel mode only or it's read only. We still need to hit redeal with that. So the TLB, as I said, caches valid last level page table entries. And it doesn't matter which of the many last level tables we have with a multi-level page table. And this allows us to take the TLB output and just form an address with it directly. Because we can just take the physical page number out of the page table entry we get from the TLB. We don't need to do any extra steps because they've already been done, and that's what we're storing the result of that those many steps. Yes?
So does the TLB just map the like, virtual address to like, the last level of the page table?
The TLB map the virtual address to the last level of the page table? Maps the virtual page number, the part of the virtual address that specifies a last level page table entry, to the page table entry. Yes. Question? Will the TLB store permission bits other than valid bit? Yes, it stores essentially everything that's in the page table entry. And as a more concrete example, so our TLBs are typically organized like the caches we've seen, but rather than storing data bytes, we store page table entry bytes, so physical page numbers and permission bits. And we have the lookup in the TLB uses the virtual page number, and we're going to split up that virtual page number just like we split up normal addresses into an index and a tag. You might say, wait a moment, what about an offset? And typically, your offset's going to be 0 bits because we're going to only store one page table entry per block. So we just have an index and a tag. So the index and tag give us the virtual page number that we're storing in the storing an entry for in the TLB, and we store a page table entry there, and the TLB can output that information. And otherwise, the operation is really the same as the caches we've seen before. Just that we're not looking up a full address in there, we're looking up just a virtual page number, and we're not getting out actual data for the program, we're just getting out the translation, the information about the physical address we should access and whether it should be a fault or not. Some questions about this organization? Okay. So, right, those aren't page table entries. So, on my desktop, I have 4 kilobyte pages, 48-bit virtual addresses, and there's actually two levels of TLBs and separate data and instruction TLBs, but the level one data TLB is a 64-entry, four-way TLB. So by 64 entries, I mean it holds 64 page table entries, and each of those are like a block in a cache. So that we don't store groups of page table entries together with the same tag. We have like separate tag valid bits for each of the 64 entries. And we have four ways of them. So the question is, how many index bits do we have? How many tag bits do we have? Because what we're doing is we're going to take our virtual page number. We have our address. We have a virtual page number and a page offset. And we're going to split up the virtual page number into an index to the TLB and a tag to the TLB. We'll look up the index to get a row of the TLB, which is going to have four ways. And we'll use the tag to figure out which of the four ways, if any, matches what we're looking up and has the page table entry we want. Okay, who'd like some more time? A couple people. Okay, who would like some more time? Okay, so for index bits, who thinks we have one index bit? Two? Three? Four? Five? Six? Seven? Eight or more? Okay, so we have a split between four and six. So the way I figure this out is we have a 64-entry TLB, which means that there are 64 page table entries we store. And we have four ways. So we have rows, where we have four page table entries per row. So the question is, how many rows do we have? Those are the sets of our cache. And I get that we have 64 divided by 4 sets. This is the number of rows, which is 16 sets. And we need 4 bits to identify which set to use. And to figure out the number of index bits, we didn't actually need to know anything else about the virtual addresses. We just needed to know how many sets are in the cache. So to figure out the tag bits, the TLB lookup uses the virtual page number. So how big is the virtual page number? Well, it's 48 bits is the virtual address, minus 12 bits is 36 bits for the virtual page number. And we know 4 of those bits are used for the TLB index. So we need to remember the rest of the bits. So when we access something in our cache, we can figure out, oh, is this a cache hit? Or did I just have something else go to the same set? So that gives us 32 bits for our attack. So it's the part of the virtual page number we didn't use for the index. So questions on how I figured this out? Yes? How would I factor in the offset bit? So in TLBs, our cache blocks are always one page table entry. So there's, and we're only using the virtual page number, so there's no offset bits. They just don't happen because we only store one page table entry at a time. We don't like store multiple bytes together like we do in a normal cache. Yes? Question is, why did I subtract 12 from 48? So our virtual addresses consist of a virtual page number and a page offset. The page offset is 12 bits. And that's the 12 I was subtracting. And I was told my virtual address was 48 bits, so the whole thing is 48 bits. I need to subtract that 12 to get my 36 left over. Does that answer your question? Other questions? People look confused. Other questions? Okay. So let's do a different exercise to finish off. So first, as some setup, let's say we have a very simple 4-entry, 2-way TLB. So how many indexes does this have? Well, we have 4 divided by 2 equals 2 sets, 4 entries divided into 2 columns. So we have 2 rows. So we have 2-set TLB. Two sets, which means one index bit. And we have 4,096 pages, which means 12-bit page offsets. So what's the TLB index of the virtual address 12345? So this has a page offset of 345 and a virtual page number of 0x12, which is 0. And maybe a bunch of leading zeros. And the index bit is this one bit here. So the index is 0. So remember, we're using our virtual page number to do our TLB lookup. The index bits are the least significant bits of that. And we had one of them in this case that was 0. So questions on how I did that? As it will become relevant in a very shortly. Okay, so we have this simple TLB. Let's say we start with an initially empty TLB. I want to know, where do we have TLB hits and misses? And I'm telling you, here are the accesses we do. and the virtual addresses and the results of the address translation, regardless of whether that address translation was a hit in the TLB or required doing an actual page table lookup. And a good first step for this would be splitting up these virtual addresses into page offset and page number, which I can do by taking off the last 12 bits. And I don't think we'll finish this exercise, but we should be able to figure out the first few hits and misses. Okay, so let's start with the easiest part of this. So the first access, is that a TLB hit or a miss? Who thinks it's a miss? Okay, hit. Okay, and I agree, it is a miss. It has to be a miss because TLB is initially empty. Okay, so how about the second access? So who thinks that's a TLB hit? Who thinks that's a miss? Who doesn't know? Okay, so of the people who had an idea, the majority said hit, and that is correct. So what's going to happen on our first TLB miss is that we're going to store in our TLB, which we have two sets. In set 0, we're going to store the page table entry for VPN 0xf440. And that's what we look up in the TLB. We're looking up page table entries for a specific virtual page number. And the write, that's what it needs. So that's going to be a hit. It finds that specific page table entry. It's there. So questions on why that's the case? And I guess why it's in set 0 is because the index bit is the least significant bit of the page number, which is 0, 4, 4, 4, 0. Question?
Yeah, so because it's a write, like normally you get the like you go to the path and because, well, I guess it's still hit.
Question, because it's a write, does that change anything? And the answer is, it doesn't change the TLB lookup, because remember, we're only looking up the page table entry. So we're not writing to the page table entry, we're writing to that virtual address. So we still need to read the page table entry to write to that virtual address. We don't actually edit the page table entry to write to that address. Does that answer your question? Okay, we're there. Question, would we not need the actual value when we're writing? The TLB does not store values, does not store data. It stores page table entries. We need the page table entry when we're writing. To actually get the data, we're going to need to go to the cache. So if you remember our diagram from earlier, right, we still have to, after we go into the TLB, we still have to go to the cache, to the main L1 cache. We haven't done that. No, it's still going to be a step. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Other questions? OK. So how about our next read, the 127FFFFE008? Is that a TLB hit or miss? Who thinks a miss? OK. And that's because that's the first time we're accessing this page. How about the next access? Is that a, who thinks that's a hit? A miss? And that's a hit because, yes, we just accessed the entry for the virtual page number. So after we access this, we'll have two page table entries stored in set 0. I know it's set 0 because the least significant bit of 7FFFE is 0. And that's our index bit. Yes?
So would the page offset not matter for determining hits or misses?
Question, does the page offset not matter? It indeed does not. So then we have a read to 7FFFD. This is a completely new page. It's going to be a miss. And it's going to populate in set 1. And then we have an access to 664. Which is again going to be a miss. That's the first time we're accessing the page. Yes?
How do you know what set it's going in?
How do I know what set it's going in? I look at the index bits, which is the least significant bit of the virtual address, because we have one index bit, so the virtual page number. And we use the virtual page number. That's what the TLB gets as input. Does that answer your question? How do we know it's the least significant bit? It's always the least significant bit, same way that we always have the tag index offset ordering for normal caches. So I have this figured out. So the next interesting thing which happens is when we access 664, we have to evict something from set 0. And we said we have an LRU replacement policy, so we end up evicting 440, the least recently accessed page table entry we have. And to show the other part of the question is what's finally in the page table in the TLB. So we have to store the page table entry for 664, 440, and 7FFD0, and this is how they might be stored. We have to store their tags, which are going to be everything but the index bit and the virtual page number, and the actual contents of the page table entry for each of the sets. That's where I finish up today. So questions on this exercise? I know I'm out of time, though, so I don't care, mind if you're leaving.
Oh.